BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us today on a News Roundup Friday. We've got a number of stories. Sandy's been working busily this week here getting issues and topics together ready for us. And friends, we've got a lot to unpack in this hour, so we encourage you to stay tuned, listen. Lord willing, we'll give opportunity to have some phone lines open. We'll see how we do, though, with the stack of stories that we have today. I do want to begin with a story from CNSNews.com about a Georgia Congresswoman-elect, Marjorie Taylor Greene. She says that America is suffering from a spiritual blinding in which truth is denied and untruths are accepted as truths. The acceptance of the opposite of truth as fostered by means of nation erasing its history and lessons learned from the history, Green tweeted Wednesday, saying America is under a spiritual binding. What is right is called wrong. What is true is called a lie. People are replacing faith in God with faith in government and science and erasing our history, our lessons, and the truth. She's a first-term congresswoman, a staunch supporter of President Donald Trump. She bills herself as being a Christian, a wife, a mom, small business owner, proud American, 100% pro-life, pro-gun, pro-Trump. She first captured nationwide attention with her petition to oust Nancy Pelosi from office. And she said she was inspired to run for office by President Trump. Now, isn't that something? She said, what is right is called wrong. What is true is called a lie. That's what Isaiah wrote back. Many years ago, Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that are called evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I'd like to commend the Mississippi governor, Tate Reeves. ChristianNews.net tells us that on Wednesday, he announced that he's declaring this Sunday, December 20th, a statewide day of prayer, humility, and fasting to seek God before the beginning of a new year. He said, as we close out this year, I feel the need to go to God in prayer for our state. We know that there is power in prayer. In fact, it is what God commands us to do. He noted that 2020 has been a difficult year for many due to the COVID pandemic and read from Romans 12 about being joyful in hope, patient in tribulation, fervent in prayer. He outlined that in light of these matters, he decided to sign a proclamation designating Sunday as a statewide day of prayer. That's in Mississippi. Well, in follow-up to our program yesterday on the COVID vaccination, FoxNews.com is reporting a head nurse at a hospital in Chattanooga, Tennessee, caused kind of a brief scare yesterday when she fainted shortly after receiving the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. Tiffany Dover, the nurse manager at CHI Memorial, received the vaccine, then a short time later addressed the media. Well, the video circulated online showed her taking questions and then losing her train of thought and saying, then I'm sorry, I'm feeling dizzy. I'm sorry, as she starts to walk away from the rostrum. Doctors were nearby, managed to catch her. Minutes later, she was able to address reporters, said the doctor said the vaccine ingredients did not cause the episode. She said she has a condition where she could faint when she feels pain. It just hit me all of a sudden. She said, I could feel it coming on. I feel a little disoriented, but I feel fine now, and the pain in my arm is gone. Interesting. Not exactly what the vaccination conveyors want to have shown on television. A Western Journal reporting the Pentagon's initial allotment of COVID-19 vaccines will be administered at 16 defense sites in the U.S. and abroad, with healthcare workers, emergency personnel, and residents of military retirement homes getting top priority, officials said. Next in line will be military personnel who provide critical national capabilities, such as nuclear weapons crews and cybersecurity forces, as well as certain military units getting ready to deploy. Listen to this. The vaccinations, and this is from WesternJournal.com, the vaccinations will be voluntary, but the shots could become mandatory later if they are fully authorized by the Food and Drug Administration, the official said. And I believe that's in reference to our nation's military as far as the mandatory, but others are concerned. Even the legislation that's coming forth from, I believe it's a legislator, is it New York, New Jersey, saying that if less than 70% of the people get the vaccination, it should become mandatory. Fox News is also reporting that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said masks will be a requirement for members in the chamber. On the House floor, the Speaker said members would not be recognized if they were not properly wearing their face coverings, and recognition would be withdrawn if masks were removed while a lawmaker was speaking, according to the official Twitter account of the chamber. Interesting indeed. Townhall.com, a coroner in Colorado is sounding the alarm over how deaths in her county are being counted and attributed to the Wuhan coronavirus. The coroner, Brenda Box, says two of their five deaths related to COVID-19 were people who died of gunshot wounds, CBS News Denver reports. Box says because they tested positive for COVID-19 within the past 30 days, they were classified as death among cases. Box is calling the classification absurd, raises concerns that death classifications are falsely driving the narrative about the direction of the pandemic. Folks, the guy died of gunshot wounds, but because of the fact that they tested positive for COVID in the past 30 days, they were classified as a COVID, deaths among cases. Wisconsin State Journal. UW-Madison students will be more closely monitored next semester. A mobile app called Safer Badgers will be students and employees' key to campus, representing a significant change from the fall semester. All students living in the Madison area, including those who live off campus and have only online classes, will be denied entry to campus buildings unless they are up to date on a twice-weekly COVID-19 test requirement. Members of the campus community will use an app to schedule their COVID-19 test, track the results, provide proof of their Badger badge. It's a virtual access pass to gain entry into buildings. They're going to have trained employees standing guard outside buildings, checking those who enter for their Badger badge. Using the app may qualify students for incentives and avoid any negative consequences triggered by being out of compliance. It also provides anonymous notifications to phones if another app user nearby has tested positive for COVID-19. UW-Madison can lend smartphones to those who don't own one, but coming to the UW-Madison campus. And the question is, how many other campuses will employ this same thing? We also have a California sheriff defying what he describes as an absurd order from a local superior court judge who has ordered that 1,800 inmates be released due to COVID-19, despite the fact that some of them are locked up for murder and child molestation. Sheriff Don Barnes of Orange County told Fox and Friends, quote, "I have no intention of doing that, of releasing these individuals back into the community. I think they pose a serious threat. You think?" Daily Mail out of the UK. Joe Biden is ordering an exorcism of the White House. Team in hazmat suits will spray the entire residence with disinfectant after Donald leaves, reads the headline. White House historian Kate Anderson Brower says there's a five-hour window between presidents. That's where 95 staff will have to pack up all the Trump possessions and move the Bidens in. They will clean or replace everything. I guess we'll have to see if the election results merit that. A time in hazmat suits will spray the entire residence with disinfectant after Trump leaves and remove carpets, curtains, and furniture, they report. A member of the transition team added, Mr. Trump's administration has been riddled with the coronavirus. Didn't somebody in the Biden camp just come down with it here in the last 24 hours? Well, the Bidens are taking no chances. The entire property will be deep cleaned down to replacing doorknobs. Replacing doorknobs at the White House. And taking down soft furnishings, reports the Daily Mail out of the UK. Epoch Times, last weekend, tens of thousands of people converged in the U.S. Capitol and the Supreme Court, waving American flags, wearing red, white, and blue, blaring horns to take part in rallies for greater transparency in the 2020 election. People traveled to Washington from over the country to show their support for President Trump. Many said the election process was handled improperly and fraudulent. Some are optimistic that the tide will turn. Still others see this election as a battle between good and evil. Epoch also reporting the group of Republicans in Pennsylvania Tuesday has again urged the U.S. Supreme Court to take up their lawsuit challenging the election. Their attorney filed a petition for this to be taken up, docketed the court December 15th, arguing that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court was wrong when it dismissed their case because the justices thought the plaintiffs filed their case with unreasonable delay. Interesting indeed as that matter is taking place. Okay. Also, we have interesting story here. In seven states on December 14th, is from the Epoch Times, a slate of Democratic electors chose Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden. Republican electors, though, even though Biden was certified as a winner in their states, also cast vote for President Trump. The phenomena created seven sets of so-called dueling electors or alternate slates. Both groups are sending certificates of ascertainment to Congress, which is slated to convene in a joint session January 6, 2021, to count electoral votes. According to the Congressional Research Service, when dueling slates are received, members of Congress in the joint session consider the list when it's from a different state authority than the certified list and conduct a vote. Acceptance of either slate would then require a concurrent agreement in both the House and the Senate. At least four people in the House have committed to filing objections during the session. Objections do have to be in writing, at least one representative and also one senator. Well, as has come out, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, this is from the Daily Wire, is warning his Republican colleagues in the Senate not to engage in an effort to undermine the Electoral College vote that took place earlier this week, reportedly telling members of the GOP in a private meeting that an extended fight over the presidency would cost them support. Newsmax reports President Trump early Wednesday told Mitch McConnell that it's too soon to give up on the election after the Kentucky Republican congratulated Mr. Biden from the Senate floor. And here's what he sent out. He said, Mitch, 75 million votes, a record for a sitting president by a lot. Too soon to give up. Republican Party must finally learn to fight. People are angry, was the tweet from President Donald Trump. The Epoch Times reporting President Trump's winning path through the 2020 election runs through the state legislatures in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona, as Jenna Ellis says. And so she says, we have every opportunity to call themselves back into an electoral session for the purpose of voting on which slate of delegates they're going to send. That came out on the 17th here. She said, once the state actually calls an electoral session, is willing to run that resolution to vote by a simple majority, we're not going to allow corrupted false certifications to prevail in terms of how we select our delegates. If one state is willing to do this, I think others will follow. From the New American, they say, no evidence? Well, the Nevada DMV data reveals thousands of non-citizens voted in the 2020 election. Information obtained via subpoena by the Nevada Republican Party from the state's Department of Motor Vehicles revealed that thousands of non-citizens not only were registered to vote, but actually cast votes in the 2020 election. Nearly 4,000 non-citizens had voted. Some other notable facts unearthed by the data scientist who testified to over 100,000 unique cases of illegal ballots. Almost 20,000 Nevada voters had a non-Nevada mailing address. Approximately 8,000 voters had registered addresses that are physically non-existent. Approximately 15,000 voters are registered to vote at either a commercial address or a vacant property. Also, they report 42,000 voters voted twice and have multiple voter registration numbers associated with substantially the same name, birth date, and address. Some more News Roundup stories after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, before the fall of man, did animals suffer?
Chris, the Bible says at the end of creation week, things were very good. Things would live forever with no pain or death. With Adam's sin came the wages of sin. But evolutionists believe that animals lived and died long ago. In fact, the dinosaurs went extinct before man even got here. And yet some of them lived with great pain. A recent discovery of a T-Rex fossil shows this. This dinosaur was quite old when it died. Earlier, it had suffered a broken leg and broken ribs, which had healed. It lived in terrible pain. Now, I don't think that this pain is the result of creation. It's the result of sin. It's certainly not very good, as God pronounced his completed creation back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
got a news roundup here today on Crosstalk. Thanks for tuning in to Crosstalk here on this BCY America network. And the stations across the nation, we thank you for carrying the program and keeping listeners informed on critical issues. Very interesting, from WND, Sidney Powell is wanting all voting machines to be impounded and examined, calling really upon President Trump to issue an executive order. She found that charging Dominion voting machines counted every Biden vote at a value of 1.25, while diminishing the value of Trump votes to 0.75. So they flip 25% of the votes for Biden automatically every vote count instead of a vote counting as one, which is a vote as a vote should count, one man, one vote. She said, we can see in some of the readouts that's exactly what happened, giving 1.25 for Biden, 0.75 for Trump. You'll find the story, WND.com. Also saying that the U.S. Supreme Court is slow walking her cases amid this Dominion voting system that there's been calls for her by Dominion to retract her fraud claims, as well as a motion by the city of Detroit to disbar her. She said yesterday that her emergency petitions for Georgia and Michigan are on the Supreme Court docket. She said, however, on Twitter that the high court is slow walking the cases by not requiring a response from the states until January 14th. Isn't that interesting? So they're taking some cases, but, well, we're not looking for any kind of response until January 14th. You know what happened 6 days after that? It's a day called Inauguration Day. Also, Jenna Ellis, one of the president's lawyers, says we're going to fight regardless of what happens in January, indicating that both chambers of Congress meet January 6th to count the votes. Inauguration Day is the 20th. According to the Constitution, the transfer of powers should take place that day. But she said that the legal team is going to continue to contest the results of this election even after Congress counts and validates the Electoral College vote. Let's take a look here. Story from Fox News. Intel community assessment delayed amid dispute over whether China sought to influence 2020 election. Yeah, the intelligence, not only is the Supreme Court dragging their heels, but the intelligence community's classified assessment on foreign threats to the 2020 U.S. elections. It was set to be released December 18th. Now it's unclear how long the report is going to be delayed. Meanwhile, Pamela Geller is reporting John Brennan, the U.S. intelligence community, knew months prior to the 2016 election that the collusion smear was a result of a campaign operation hatched by the campaign of Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, and not one person has been indicted. She cites an article by The Federalist. Top U.S. officials, intelligence officials, were so concerned heading into the 2016 election that the Russians were aware of and potentially manipulating Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's plans to smear Donald Trump as a Russian agent, and they personally briefed Barack Obama, President Obama at the time, on the matter, newly classified CIA documents show. CIA officials also requested that the FBI investigate Russian knowledge of the Clinton's campaign's collusion smear campaign. According to the declassified notes, Brennan, the U.S. intelligence community, knew months prior to the 2016 election that the collusion smear was a result of a campaign operation hatched by the campaign of Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. By the way, Fox News here reporting about Hunter Biden and had some correspondence, evidently, with the CEFC, that's a Chinese energy company chair, Yi Jianming, from 2017, shows President-elect Joe Biden's son, that's what the story says here, Joe Biden's son extending best wishes from the entire Biden family and urging the chairman to quickly send a $10 million wire to properly fund and operate the Biden joint venture with the now bankrupt Chinese energy company. Well, we understand the transfer was never completed, but very interesting, asking for his letter to be translated to the chairman, extend my warm wishes, and hope to see the chairman soon. By the way, we'd like $10 million. WND.com leaked documents linking almost 2 million members of the Chinese Communist Party have revealed that many work for major global companies as well as multiple foreign governments. CCP, Communist China, okay? Agents have no place in the U.S. government facilities, and this report should serve as a much-needed wake-up call to D.C. and corporate executives, said Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri. He said, we continue to welcome the Chinese governments with open arms. It's just more evidence of the extent to which CCP has successfully infiltrated American companies and government. Communist China has been allowed to infiltrate universities and corporations with people loyal to only the Communist Party. Former acting director of national intelligence Richard Grenell said Sunday, the list touches major companies in multiple industries, including transportation giants Boeing and Volkswagen, drug makers Pfizer and AstraZeneca, and financial institutions, including ANZ and HSBC, according to News.com of Australia, Rolls-Royce, Airbus, the French defense contractor Thales, and Jaguar Land Rover also have party members along among their employees, the Daily Mail reports. Qualcomm, a U.S.-based multinational company that won a Defense Department contract to develop multi-factor authentication security systems for military computers, also on the list of companies employing party members, according to the New York Post. Senator Rubio is just saying this massive ongoing cyber attack, a grave risk to federal, state, local governments. Russian government spies reportedly behind the massive hacking attack. It's affected networks within the federal government, Energy Department, National Nuclear Security Administration. Troubling indeed. Rubio said the hackers got into the networks through SolarWinds Orion platform. SolarWinds, you heard them about the vote fraud issues too, didn't you? But they're a private company that provides online security for federal, state, and local governments. College Fix reporting a former employee of the Ohio-based Nationwide Children's Hospital Research Institute pleaded guilty to selling American research secrets to China. Yu Zhao, formerly of Dublin, Ohio, admitted to conspiring to steal scientific trade secrets related to research, identification, and treatment of a range of pediatric medical conditions. A statement following his guilty plea from U.S. Attorney David DeViller said the Chinese government has created a large-scale, sophisticated system to steal American ingenuity. We hope this conviction demonstrates that we will fight this system. Coming from Eagle Forum, the People's Republic of China has been collecting people's DNA for years, and according to Gordon Chang, author of The Coming Collapse of China, the country's sinister motivation should be of great concern to the U.S. With over 80 million health profiles, China has the largest DNA database in the world, and it's growing. In an interview with Fox News, Chang warned that China plans to use this information to create bioweapons designed to target specific ethnic groups. The coronavirus is not the last pathogen that will be generated from the Chinese soil, and so we've got to be concerned that this next disease is more transmissible and more deadly than the novel coronavirus, said Chang. China reportedly collects the DNA of its own citizens for purposes of law enforcement, tracking down dissidents, and forming a tightly controlled surveillance state. But they have also found ways to to obtain the DNA of foreigners, including Americans. Now, folks, this is where you may have unwittingly given your DNA to China. How exactly do they get this sensitive information? Again, I'm reading here from eagleform.org. Here it comes. Buying American companies which have DNA profiles, subsidizing DNA analysis for ancestry companies and hacking. Those who are trying to find out their ancestry and you send in your DNA, well, according to Eagle Forum here, they get some of their sensitive information and DNA, collecting DNA of citizens from around the world by buying companies that have the DNA profiles and then subsidizing DNA analysis for these ancestry companies and hacking. WND.com in a shocking revelation. Canada's Department of Natural Defense has confirmed that it allowed Communist China's army into Canadian soil to observe its winter training exercises in February 2018, the Toronto Sun reported. The DND claimed that members of the People's Liberation Army only observed and did not participate in any training. Canadians might not be as naive as their leaders. A reader poll with the Sun's article said, should troops from Communist China have been invited to observe military operations in Canada? More than 97% said no. Because Canada shares more than 5,500 miles of border with the U.S., this lapse of military judgment also potentially endangers Americans' national security. What else is China doing? Well, according here to VOA News, Chinese courtrooms this month were the scene of two trials prosecuting Christian businessmen. What did they do? Selling audio versions of the Bible. It's under a new crackdown that's part of a government campaign to eradicate pornography and illegal publications. Speaking of border issues, Washington Examiner reporting that current and former U.S. border officials warning of an impending crisis at the southern border due to a Biden administration's immigration stance. Tens of thousands more Central Americans and Mexicans being encountered by Customs and Border Protection, federal law enforcement personnel at the U.S.-Mexico border each of the past few months. That the same period a year ago, but national securities are officials sounding the alarm that the surge is just a preview of what is to come in January and in February. Western Journal reporting that Cuomo signed a letter, rather a law, Tuesday that restricts, this is New York Governor's Cuomo, that restricts the freedom of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement to arrest illegal immigrants while they're in state courthouses. You cannot come to the courthouse, a state courthouse, and ICE officials say it's safer doing it there than going to their home or work. But the New York's Democrat-controlled State Assembly and State Senate felt differently, passed a law in the summer requiring ICE have a warrant signed by a judge for the arrest of illegal immigration before carrying out the arrest in a state courthouse. An arrest with either or no warrant, or what's known as administrative warrant, not signed by a judge, is now banned. Okay, we know about the coronavirus being used as a national health crisis. Well, guess what, folks? There may be some more. Washington Examiner reporting President-elect, this is their words, not mine, Joe Biden, released a statement remembering the victims of the Sandy Hook elementary shooting while saying that gun violence is a national health crisis in need of being addressed. Biden said the shooting was the saddest day of his Obama administration years, but that he remains in awe of the surviving victims, how many of them have turned their pain into purpose, but wants to change America's gun laws. But not only this, but also, folks, be ready for this. They've seen how to do it with COVID, and now the United Nations is calling for all countries to declare a climate emergency. The story's at thenewamerican.com as at a December 12th summit addressing progress toward the climate goals set by the 2015 Paris Agreement held in London, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called on all countries of the world to immediately declare a climate emergency. 5 years after the Paris Accord, we are still not going in the right direction, Guterres said. If we don't change course, we may be heading for a catastrophic temperature rise of more than 3 degrees by the end of the century. Can anybody still deny that we're still facing a dramatic emergency? Asked the socialist former Portuguese Prime Minister. That's why today I call on all leaders worldwide to declare a state of climate emergency in their countries until carbon neutrality is reached. Among the other speakers at this event, guess who? Pope Francis, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, the French President Macron, Chinese leader Xi Jinping, European leaders also were there. And for the U.S., well, we're not part of the Paris Agreement, but guess who went there to represent the U.S.? Governor Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, Charlie Baker of Massachusetts. More after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
VCY invites you to obtain an audio recording of the Gospel according to John as narrated by Brad Canterbury.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
John's Gospel, presenting the words of Jesus, the way of salvation.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever...
You can share this as a gift or for listening over and over on your daily commute. VCY America is making available this narrated Gospel of John on two CDs for a donation of $12. Call during business hours 1-800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829.
But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
Well, friends, my clock is moving faster than my stack of stories here today. We'll try and get through a few more items here. But, a climate emergency. I want this to be declared around the world. We've learned very well how to shut down the world, haven't we? And this has been nothing but a dress rehearsal for more such shutdowns to take place. That's my opinion. Just a dress rehearsal going on right now. By the way, polar bears and tigers are thriving. The numbers are escalating. This is really dismay to the climate doomsdayers. Townhall.com has the story here. Tigers basically have doubled in population since 2006. Polar bears also, the polar bear population escalating significantly. Doesn't do well for the climate change narrative, though, does it? Here's good news from the Supreme Court of the United States blog. The Supreme Court Tuesday tossed out a pair of lower court rulings that permitted states to enforce COVID-related restrictions at worship services. That's good news. Also, coming to us from CBN, a Colorado church celebrating after the Supreme Court ruled in their favor Tuesday following a lawsuit against their governor, Jared Polis, over restrictions on attendance over religious gatherings. President Trump, Monday, moved to loosen Obama-era restrictions on religious organizations that receive federal funds to provide social services, reports the Western Journal. Milwaukee County, that's where this program comes from, on track to record a 70% increase in homicides, 70% spike in homicides, 30% increase in fatal overdoses, 26% increase in fatal auto accidents. You know what the mayor is doing? Well, his budget cuts police officers. Daily Signal, the Human Rights Campaign, large influential LGBTQ advocacy group, recently released a policy brief with recommendations for a Biden administration. Suggestions are very alarming. We covered this in part with Peter LaBarbera, but this blueprint for positive change 2020 language, one of the alarming suggestions is language regarding accreditation of religious institutions of higher education. And the Higher Education Opportunity Act could be interpreted to require accrediting bodies to accredit religious institutions that discriminate or do not meet science-based curricula standards. The Department of Education should issue a regulation clarifying that this provision, which requires accreditation agencies to respect the state admission of religious institutions, does not require the accreditation of religious institutions that do not meet neutral accreditation standards and non-discrimination policies and scientific curricula requirements. The Human Rights Campaign is essentially calling for faith-based education to adopt the campaign's positions on gender identity, same-sex marriage, transgender transitioning, and more, or fail to be accredited. Did you know this? The governor of North Carolina, Ray Cooper, issued a proclamation for Gender Expansive Parents Day. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper signed a proclamation marking Gender Expansive Parents Day to honor parents that don't identify exclusively as masculine or feminine. Declaration also claims that homosexuals are 6 times more likely to foster and 4 more times likely to adopt. Increasing many of these LGBTQ parents exist outside a traditional gender binary, the proclamation reads, explaining that terms like non-binary, gender expansive, and agender are used to refer to a spectrum of gender identities that are not exclusively masculine or feminine. We keep being told we're science deniers. Should they go back to biology and see what XX means and XY? What does that mean? Let's not deny science. FaithWire.com tells us a Cartoon Network, which hosts mostly catered toward children, is now telling kids about the different gender identities that they can use for themselves. Do you put your kids in front of the Cartoon Network? Monday, the Twitter account associated with Cartoon Network tweeted a new series with the caption, "Here's to not only normalizing gender pronouns, but respecting them too. Whether you use he, she, them, or something else, we acknowledge and love you." The comic strips in the new series, created in partnership with the National Black Justice Coalition, use the characters to explain the radical embrace of differing gender identities. Also, a federal judge siding with transgender residents on changing Ohio birth certificates. This is coming out of Columbus. There's evidently a new Bible being created, a new children's Bible to include gender perspective. putting women as being created before man, a bishop for Church of Sweden, developing this Bible for children. Also, we have one tweeting out, transgender activists, every child should have puberty blockers. Don't have time to develop that story here today. Democratic congresswoman, though, introducing a bill to prohibit biological men from competing on women's teams. This is Tulsi Gabbard. Well, thank you for doing this. And Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma have introduced H.R. 8932. It's called the Protect Women's Sports Act. A summary of the bill states that for purposes of determining compliance with Title IX of Education Amendment 1972 in athletics, sex shall be determined on the basis of biological sex as determined at birth by a physician. Oh, AOC calling for new Democratic leadership, faulting the old guard for failing to elevate this next generation. The answer says we need to shift power. We need to make sure that we have a transition of power in the Democratic Party, speaking against Pelosi and against Schumer. But folks, I got to share this as well. From LifeNews.com, an Argentinian pro-abortion activist has created a modification for the famous 1990s video game Doom, in which the player competes in the game by shooting an unborn baby with a shotgun. Rather than killing monsters, the player first kills pro-life women, Catholic priests, and police before ultimately killing an unborn child, the boss of the game. I'd like to open some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. No doubt you want to comment on these or some other current event issues. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Our phone number here today for Crosstalk. By the way, LifeNews.com also reporting California requires private health insurance plans to pay for abortions. The requirement essentially forces churches and Christian groups that are pro-life to fund killing babies and abortions in their health care plans. Churches across California have been battling the onerous abortion mandate for years with no relief, but now the Trump administration is taking action against California over its requirement, saying it violates the Weldon Amendment, federal law that protects conscience rights and prohibits states which receive federal funding from compelling health care funds to plan abortion. So as a result, they announced at a pro-life forum that the Trump administration will withhold $200 million in Medicaid funds per quarter from California until it removes the abortion funding requirement. Let's go to the phone lines here today. William from East Troy, you're on the air.
Brother Jim, Merry Christmas. I wanted to say that Gretchen Whitmer leaving to go to that climate thing, I hope she took her mask with her because she's trying to force that upon everybody else. But I just wanted to reinforce the fact that we decided many years ago to homeschool our children because of this homosexual transgender agenda that they're pushing on us. I want to tell every parent out there, get your kids out of the public school. Go and teach them God's word. There's no better defense against all this wickedness than understanding and doing daily devotions with your children and doing that to protect their souls. But I wanted to comment that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, better known as Lew Alcindor, says he wants conservatives and non-woke liberals, that he wants to censor all of us by social media. I don't know who he thinks he is, but you can't just go around censoring people because we have a thing called the Constitution and we have free speech. So I think we just really need to get on our knees, brother, and get on our knees and be humble before the Lord and ask for wisdom in these days in which we live.
Amen.
And thank you for all you do.
Thank you, William, and Merry Christmas to you, too. Courtney in Miami, Florida, you're on the air.
God bless all you saints. I just want to say something. The brother that was right on before me, he got it right. You parents watch your kids, what they're learning, what they're teaching, and even in that child's Bible, when they were preaching the word, the young people were with the parents. There's only one word, and that's the word of God. And I want to read two verses right fast, if you allow me. God bless you now. Matthew 9:37 and 9:38. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And then 38 says, Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Saints, it's the time to win souls like never before and to witness and to live it before the people, because the people are hungry and their souls dying, not knowing the Lord. God bless you all, and pray for one another that we all be doing the will of God. God bless you now.
Thank you, Courtney, for your call. Let's go to Joe in Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Thank you for all the work you do bringing the guests on the radio show. I want to say thank you for recently you had the Jewish physician who was speaking about the COVID virus. I hope your station can bring him back again. I really enjoyed his point of view, especially after yesterday you had the other lady that was not medical but more of a informed consent citizen.
Mm-hmm.
My two questions, if you can bring the physician back, he mentioned that there's a fear that the COVID vaccine damages the potential for future pregnancies in young women. Haven't heard that or seen that in the media, but I'm interested in what the theory is on that. Also, I really appreciate. I enjoyed his perspective with the vaccination, I agree with him with the what did he call it? The COVID party, similar to the chickenpox parties of the past. I think that's okay. A good idea. Another thing, just to mention, I also the last gentleman that was on that said that we need to read the Word. That's the only thing that will help us. I think that. The nation of God, when they had a king, the king's job was to read the Word of God and study it every day. If we would do that in our families again, we would not have as many problems as we do.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate your call here today and your comments. Delbert, Lyonsville, Pennsylvania, you're on the air.
Yes, Jim, thanks for taking my call. What I'm calling about is Mitch McConnell. He's from the great state of Kentucky, and I was born in Kentucky, but I want to tell you something. I'm ashamed of that man to call him a congressman from Kentucky, the way he has treated our president. He's nothing but for himself. He's like Joe Biden. He's looking for the money or further power. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Fred in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Yes, do you think that the George Soros money is being used by President Obama and Brennan and Clapper, which are the CIA and FBI, but the 32,000 agents that they have and are using are threatening our federal, state, and local officials and their families in some way, that they're bending over to allow this vote to go on for Biden versus Trump.
Well, I can say this, that the Open Society funds and George Soros funds, they are blanketed into so many organizations and what I would call front groups across this nation. Its influence is unending at this point, Fred. And I think when you often follow the money, much of it's going to lead back to Mr. Soros in that regard. We are up against a break here on Crosstalk. We'll take a break and come back to a few more of your phone calls here at Crosstalk 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk coming your way on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. We have a TV show on our website. It's all about a 25-page report written by a group of Democrats. Many of them we would call neo-Marxist. One is a proud Islamist. The report is called Secular Democrats of America. And the 25-page report reveals what they want to do if Joe Biden does become president. And it includes crushing and destroying traditional Christians in America. Conservative Christians. They refer to them as the religious right or as Christian nationalists. They go on to declare that they want the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice to recognize these white Christian nationalists as a national security threat, as a hate group, and they want them to invest resources to, quote, de-radicalization programs aimed at, end quote, these hate groups. My friends, this is a serious threat. Pay attention.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Don in Pensacola. You're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, excuse me. This is Don in Pensacola. You said something about audio Bibles, and I didn't catch all of it, and I want to make a comment about the audio Bible that I have.
Well, this is not your audio Bible. This is a crackdown that's going on in China here as it relates, Don, to people who are selling audio Bibles, and even people who own a audio Bible are being warned in China. So there's some cases going on in Chinese courtrooms at this time. Thank you so much. Let's go to Jan in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. In regard to the Supreme Court delaying or not listening to certain cases that would help us with all these problems, I was married to a Catholic for 20 years, and deep respect to many good Catholics listening to the radio. But one of the greatest fears that Catholic Supreme Court justices may have is if they're threatened with excommunication, which means they would spend an eternity in hell and fire if they don't agree with what Pope Francis wants them to do. So this is my guess, is what's happening. There's pressure going on to these Supreme Court justices who are mostly Catholic that have been Republican nominees.
And thank you, Jan, for sharing that. We do have a higher authority than a Pope, though, don't we?
And that's right.
That's the authority Jesus is God's Christ. Word. Yeah. It's Jesus Christ, God's Word, the Bible. And that is our source of authority. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Appleton next. And Jeff, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. My concern was for the sheriff in Orange County who said they ordered the release of 1,800 criminals, some murderers and child molesters. And it's patently insane. But it just shows the sign of the times of the lack of honesty and integrity and just sensibility, common sense. Why would you release criminals that are that wicked?
And at the same time, threaten to arrest people who will not follow mask mandates, with jail time and so forth.
You know, it's painful, and I have to be gracious and kind. I've got 7 brothers and sisters. They watch the regular news. They're not believers. And, you don't want to call them useful idiots, but they are being used because they aren't getting any other information and they won't listen to other information. And it's just really sad. So they're not only darkened from spiritual truth and salvation, but they're also darkened just from the natural truth that's going on right here.
Thank you, Jeff. And I am so reminded of the prophet Hosea who wrote, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Thanks for calling. Finally, Dale in Linden Station. And by the way, Dale's going to talk here. And folks, I want you to stay tuned. I've got something you need to hear at the close of the program. Dale, you're on the air.
Thanks. Prayer, though necessary, does not replace our responsibility to confront evil and act. Jesus did pray, yes, but he also acted and confronted people. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, I wonder if some Christians are using just prayer as a scapegoat and shrinking back from the responsibility to act. Thank you.
Thank you, Dale. And number one, we should not underestimate the matter of prayer. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we don't underestimate that, but we have that role of being salt in our society as well. And so we continue to occupy until the Lord returns. And that is certainly to remember that faith without works is dead. And thank you so much for that reminder. I want you to hear something that you're not likely going to be hearing from mainstream media across the nation. This is a Christmas address that was given by President Trump here just recently. And I think you'll be shocked as to what he says in this Christmas address. Some of you may be blessed, but I want you to hear what President Trump had to say.
Thank you very much. To every family across our nation, the First Lady and I want to wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas. For Christians, this is a joyous time to remember God's greatest gift to the world. More than 2,000 years ago, the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. He said, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God." The angel told her that she would give birth to a baby boy, Jesus, who would be called the Son of the Most High. 9 months later, Christ was born in the town of Bethlehem. The Son of God came into the world in a humble stable. As Christians everywhere know, the birth of our Lord and Savior changed history forever. At Christmas, we give thanks to God and that God sent his only Son to die for us and to offer everlasting peace to all humanity. More than 2 millennia after the birth of Jesus Christ, his teachings continue to inspire and uplift billions and billions of people all over the globe. His divine word still fills our hearts with hope and faith, and Christians everywhere still strive to live by Jesus' timeless commandment to his disciples, love one another. Above all, during the sacred season, our souls are full of thanks and praise for Almighty God for sending us Christ, his Son, to redeem the world. Tonight, we ask that God will continue to bless this nation, and we pray that he will grant every American family a Christmas season full of joy, hope, and peace. On behalf of Melania and the entire Trump family, Merry Christmas to all, and best wishes for a very, very great and happy New Year. Thank you.
And friends, that's just how it happened outside the White House. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the choir, the musicians are all there, the president's own, as he was standing, giving this address, a Christmas speech, but reminding the nation that God sent Christ, his Son, to redeem the world. Oh, friends, that's the message of Christmas. The Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. We can be involved in all the issues that are taking place in our nation today, but unless you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, folks, it really means nothing. And we would encourage you to accept, to receive this free gift from God. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.